Okay, Marianne, what was your question?
If I heard you correctly, Sarah, early on when we were first beginning, you mentioned Saint Teresa and in conjunction with the energy of the Holy Mother. Did I hear you correctly?
You did. I said that she was being in her presence with the flowers, like Saint Teresa
Ah,
of the flowers. What is little? What do they
yes,
call her?
the yeah, Saint Teresa, the little child of Jesus,
Ah, okay.
or Saint Teresa of the Roses,
Of the roses. Okay. So she was in
and
that expression
okay,
of the Holy
and
Mother.
I had an experience, and I just connected the dots during our break
Ah,
about that
okay.
and the flowers. Okay, so I just want to make certain I heard that.
Right.
It was from my childhood.
Oh, and
It was lovely.
you had the experience of the flowers in Peru.
Oh
Did
yes. Oh yes.
yeah.
So
Okay.
yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Okay, we're ready to shift into the next frequency of the retreat. And this is where we, can I say, we're going to be deepening as well as continuing the purification. And we're still gathering all of our energy back to us. We're still not all back here. And this is subtle. This is learning to be tuned in to maybe different levels of your energy that you haven't been aware of that are kind of spread out into the world and need to come back. And a lot of it has to do with the body consciousness. And the body as consciousness. And we started to introduce that at the end of the last session. Good, you're starting to settle in. And let's just do a little sidebar here because this will be interesting. When the frequency of the teachings is such that they cannot be heard in our everyday mind, we need to get to a place where we can hear them, where we can hear them not only verbally, but feel them, absorb them, let the frequencies of the teaching vibrate into us so that we actually become transformed by the teaching. So there's one level of teaching which you're used to in school, which is someone delivers information, you take it in your head, and there's no transformation of being. All there is an accumulation of more heavy energy or thoughts, more thoughts and concepts. Okay. In spiritual teaching, 118. Okay. In spiritual teaching, there's a difference. There's a different way of conveying the information that keeps it alive. And this is considered part of the oral tradition. So in most spiritual traditions, there's the written tradition and the oral tradition. Each one of them carries living energy. A scripture cannot be holy if it is not conveying the living energy of the teaching. And an oral teaching is given in the frequency of that teaching so that not only the words, but the energy and the frequency, the vibration of the realization of that teaching is carried in the presentation. And so in order to be able to receive it so that those vibrations just don't bounce off and scatter into the air, so that it becomes a truly transformational experience, we have to get into the state of frequency that can receive the teaching. Everyone follow me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, is this making sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So there's a big difference in how a teaching is carried. And let's say I'm in the spiritual marketplace, but I consider everything on YouTube, internet, all the books that are published about spirituality. The thing I'm looking for in any of those writings, podcasts, YouTube videos, whatever is out there, is whether there is a living teaching in it. I don't care about the content. I care about the qualitative experience of the teaching. And this is something my teacher taught me, 35 years ago. And he had me hold different books and feel the vibration of the books. And taught me to tune into that. And he had a library of very sacred, holy scripture, and I was able to feel the difference and learn to discern the difference between a living teaching that really carried the lineage of the teaching, the realization of the teaching, and one that didn't. One may have been beautifully written. You may have wanted to pick out the most beautiful flower on the shelf, and yet you picked out the poor little one that wanted to come to the retreat. That's the difference. It's the difference between how something looks and whether it's alive. I'm just going to let that sink in. And then there's the discerning the, let's say, frequency of the teaching, because you can have presentations that carry very nice energy, but they're not as, let's say, refined as some other teachings. And so there can be a further discerning process in the discernment of the living quality of the teachings. So there's a couple levels to this. And when someone is initiated and entrusted with carrying on the teachings of a lineage, It means that they have made a vow to only present them in the frequency that they exist in, and that they have to set up the teaching so that that will happen if possible. And if not, they cannot pass on the teaching in a living way. Just taking that in.
Sarah, would you mind repeating that last part one more time?
About the person who's entrusted to transmit the teachings?
Yes.
So when a person is entrusted, initiated into being considered reliable to carry the teachings, then it becomes their responsibility to only present the teachings in the frequency that they're living in, and to create the conditions that can make it possible for those teachings to be conveyed in that way. And if not, they do not pass on the teachings.
Thank you.
Just watching your energies reorganize along the lines of this information, because you're reorganizing. And in my room, I have a million rainbows floating all over the room from the sun coming in. It's like rainbow land in here. Ceiling, walls, floor, everywhere. So there are certain teachings that can be conveyed, let's say, to anyone, and they can have a living quality to them. And then there's deeper and deeper teachings that are not conveyed until the situation, which means the people in the group or the person and the timing on the planet, all of that has to come together, and probably the timing in the stars has to come together for the right moment for those teachings to be conveyed. So there's it's a very narrow band width that some of the teachings can be conveyed in. And so when I'm guided to lead a retreat and a date for a retreat, there's very specific conditions for which certain teachings can come through. And my life is directed by being a carrier of those teachings. Again, I'm just watching while the consciousness of the group is shifting.
Bun Buddhists are very proud that they can claim a 10,000 year unbroken oral transmission.
Mm-hmm. It's a very beautiful tradition. I'm going to put myself on mute for a second and close the window because they seem to start the leaf blowers when we start the class. Okay. So when I say to you that you don't have to be miserable, that's actually like the sum of, you know, probably 5,000 spiritual scriptures, right? It's just not our true state of being. And along with that comes the energy, comes the frequency, the seed of that teaching for your being. And that seed unfolds in every single person differently. But they're potent. And when I prepare for a treat, I have to make sure that all those seeds are potent. It's not in my control, but it's under my guardianship. In other words, I don't create the seeds. I'm caring for them. And each one of you may remember this inside of you or yearn for this inside of you or not relate to it at all. But if you do, if you remember what that feels like to be the caretaker of a lineage, and whatever lifetime or how many lifetimes you may have experienced that, we're going to let it come alive in you now as a living memory. And this helps restore the dignity of your being. And I would venture to say that anyone that sticks with me long enough, like you guys have, that you have had many lifetimes being in that position. And it's kind of scary to let that wake up. Because there's a soberness to it. And there's an incredible depth of beauty of the heart in it as well. And as a mother knows, or a father who is caring for children, you know your life is not just your own pleasure any longer. That the generations coming forward are the jewels that you are caring for, and that your pleasure may come after theirs. Now, hear that in relationship to our Western culture and the conflict with attachment that that would create. And the conflict with the culture. And how scary it would be to let go of the cultural norm and let the yearning of your heart and the dignity of your being come forward. And not everyone that takes these vows, you know, is dressed in robes and has the recognition of being head of an order. It's people like you and I that can take these vows and be that caretaker. And that's part of the myth we're breaking down now. You know, in the old paradigm, it was, oh, only the special holy ones were doing this. It was their job. Not we were not capable of it. But from where I sit, I'm seeing people who know how to do this be incarnated now, but not have had the opportunity to have it reawakened in them, where it hadn't been time. But it is time now, and we can speak about it now. And we're speaking about it in, let's say, a trustworthy circle. Because you don't really talk about these things very often on the spiritual path. And the most I can do is introduce this idea to you, and you can see how you respond. And what it enlivens within you. And then there's, once it enlivens within you, then there's traveling a path of figuring out how to do this without the known steps of a traditional path, because the traditional paths are falling away. And then you have to begin relying within yourself to have the path revealed to you, and trust in that part of you that you know is able and capable and wanting to carry the teachings in an honorable way. And whether it's through teaching someone else or just carrying it and being the exemplar of it, and radiating it out into the environment, that's up to each person. Not everyone's a teacher, but everyone's a teacher by vibration and frequency. And so this is part of the transition we're going through right now, which is a higher frequency state. And that's all I'm going to say. Okay. Comments, sidebar to the sidebar. Questions.
I have a question about following your heart and the energy and living in such a way that you have that clarity. And then what happens when you come up against, or I guess I hate to use that word, come up to the programming of being disciplined, pushing and being disciplined versus being in the flow with the heart, moving with what helps you feel joyful, at peace, connected, and empowered. I'm having this issue in my own life where I'm sort of, it's like I have one foot on, you know, maybe I have more than one foot in the spiritual dynamic, and then that other piece of me comes forth of, you know, people in my life disagreeing with how I'm approaching things.
Well, first of all, the first thing I'm going to say is I'm looking at a statue of Kuan Yin in my room here, and one of the rainbow crystals is completely covering her with the rainbow colors. I just want to share that with the group. It's very beautiful. And then second of all, that question can only be answered one way. A very short answer from the position of the lineage carrier. There's a different position that I could take from, let's say, being a spiritual guide, medical intuitive teacher, two different states of being. From the lineage holder carrier, the only thing I can say to you is that which is within you needs to carry you forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And so there's no mental cognitive assurances or anything. It's how you show up from within. From someone who has, from my personal life, whenever I'm in a place where it feels like I'm not vibing with the rest of the world, I just remind myself, who am I listening to? Who do I want to listen to? And choose that. I bring it down to a really simple question. Sometimes it takes a little while to get to that that place of being able to ask that question. But I say, who am I listening to? And it doesn't come down to finances or status or anything like that. It's a pretty live edge to live on. I don't know, Ken and I might be living in one of your basements at some point. But it's really listening to the truth within your being. Now, what do you feel waking up inside of you now to the group?
Well, this is Andrea, and really being a grandma and reading to kids and really surfing what's out there as far as, you know, the seed and the truth and, you know, how do you mold those little, you know, brains and to really to find a good children's book or a good program for them to watch and to really carry through with that teaching is a beautiful thing. So it really woke that up in me because it's just right there in front of me and how they appreciate that. And someone's got to say it, my gosh. Yes, absolutely.
What else is
happening? Well, there was nothing.
Go ahead, Sunday. Yeah.
I was just going to say that what was happening for me while all this was happening, was going on, was that even though there was nothing really specific that came through, there were these memories coming through of me carrying the lineages of indigenous and well, it's indigenous European too. There were these memories that just kind of surfaced in a very, very broad sense, and enlivened my being just in those memories coming through. And I'm still enlivening.
Good. Who else is enlivening? Who else got scared by that?
Sarah, this is Lisa. I could say I did. Sobering is a great word. And the responsibility that is carried with that, and then really truly understanding what does that mean, carrying the lineage. I can't say that honestly, that has been revealed to me, to have a total understanding of what that means in my being. I don't know.
This is Cindy. I'm just going to pop in real quick and say the fear did pop in. It came up through the center of me. And I watched it, and it just left. I forgot that part.
This is Kathy, and for myself, I don't feel so much as it was a fear. I feel, as I'm resonating with what Sarah has spoken, was that I've looked at pieces or my background, my lineage, my heritage, with degrees of sadness and all the mess ups versus honoring the heritage of the lineage in the ways that have I have resonated with in the honoring the courageousness and the sacrifices and the truth that and clarity and groundedness that is coming forward through the pains and the sadness that I am working now with discernment, with concern in the positive light of carrying on the teachings of the lineage that I am now working with. And I did not have this insight until now. And the gratitude that I'm feeling is now filling me with fortitude and strength that where I've been, where I have come from in this time, place, in life is for future teaching in the highest of integrity and not the opposite of that. That has permeated or I've somehow clung to.
Very nice. Lisa, I wanted to say one thing, Lisa Paulino. The fact that you grasp the depth of soberness of what I was saying means that you were enlivened by it.
It is powerful. Very powerful. Thank you.
Did it awaken a sense? Please, I'm sorry, what? Was someone saying something?
Sorry, this was Lisa, other Lisa.
Oh, go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Lisa? Uh-huh. Yeah, now I can.
I did feel, I do feel a deep sense of remembering almost every time I am with you. Something very deep inside me is remembering. Which is why it's funny, it's like, oh yes. And then it's like, why isn't that coming forward? It's interesting. Anyway, that's all. Thank you.
Oh, it is, Lisa. It is happening. Let me ask you this. How many of you sense a nobleness within you?
Yes.
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 Yeah.
That's another way of relating to this.
Mm-hmm.
and the sense that I am worthy to feel that nobleness.
It's not even a matter of worthiness, it just appears, it awakens.
This is Ananda. Mm-hmm. I've always been taught in both Buddhism and Sufism the importance of the transmission, the silsila, the chain of teachers who've gone before. And it does impart a sense of yeah, sobering is a good word, or nobility is a good word, because you're responsible for the transmission of Dharma, and that's profound. I've never quite been able to connect that to the fact that there have been many spiritual revelations that have happened throughout history, that flowered for a generation or two and then just faded away completely. And I had always attributed that to that they did not have this living transmission.
And so what's happening for you now, Ananda? How are you? Is there a shift going on?
I wouldn't say a shift, but certainly a remembrance and recognition of how precious the streams of transmission that I've been graced with, how profound and yeah, just what a grace it is to have so many spiritual riches. Mm.
So what if every being that received a living transmission, instead of just being a cup or receiver, was actually a transmitter too? See, the old paradigm view of this was that we could only receive, that it wasn't in us, it wasn't available to us unless we received it downstream. And if we received it downstream, we had to attain a certain status in order to transmit it, and that had to be recognized by authority in the transmission. Now that would really, really limit the vibrations and perennial teachings to a very few people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it
would you put that in the category of old paradigm?
Very old paradigm, yes.
Yeah, so yeah. Wouldn't then for me, it's kind of like now knowing that you have the teaching, that you feel it in your bones. Once that's set in your bones, then you become the transmitter.
And responsible.
When the time right. And the alignment is right.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And Mark, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to, the word that comes to me over and over again is authenticity. And you live and breathe that every moment of your life. I've never seen you other than completely authentic ever. I think that true lineage holders in the traditional understanding of it are, in fact, truly very, very, very rare. I do believe that all of us are potential transmitters of the teachings. But I think that the true understanding of the teaching, as you pointed out, isn't simply the knowledge associated with it, and is beyond also just the frequency associated with it. You're not just sharing knowledge. You are the knowledge. It is part of you. This is you. As Cindy pointed out, it becomes part of your bones. It's what you are, literally, every single day and every moment of your life. And therefore, it's extremely authentic, and it's a very natural and easy thing for someone who can get into that state. Getting to that is, I think, the challenge for me. But, you know, I've watched you, and you model authenticity, and it's incredible to watch. Every single word that you say during one of our retreats is extremely truthful. It just resonates the truth, and it's wonderful to be in your presence because it's something that I'm currently not capable of doing.
Well, thank you. And then, okay, so if I speak the truth and I'm authentic, I'm going to tell you guys something. You were all tricked into attending this retreat so that you would wake this up in you.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh my.
All right. Challenge accepted.
And we thought it was about recovering from the election.
Yeah. What hope?
You can feel it, can't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
So this is a big activation, and it doesn't mean it's an activation. It's going to keep living in you, but you need to recognize it's in you, and you need to have it validated as something real and worthy of incubating. And then be given permission. I love how Cindy said it. You said it with an understanding that given the timing and the conditions, you become the vessel that continues that stream, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's the whole way to look at this. So, you know, Mark's standing there in surgery and he's reciting the Medicine Buddha mantra. That's conveying. I mean, that's doing it. Let yourself know that you're holding and carrying that lineage. And it's the right moment and the right time for your being to be doing that. And then as soon as you recognize that, that can open up the other paths that your being wants to take.
Hey, Sarah, this is Trish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to blow up the bubble, but am I the only one having a hard time with all this?
No, I said that. But I'm, actually, people should be quaking in their boots.
Yeah, that's about what I'm feeling. And, yeah. And I feel the heart field is like almost like my heart's going to blow up in my chest.
That's about
right. It's so big. Okay.
That's about right. Yeah. You would be quaking in your boots.
Yeah.
With the realization.
And I was afraid. I've been really bothered and afraid to come into this retreat, and I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't get the altar together. I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. Why can't I do this? I don't understand. So I've been to try and scale down the size of the heart field that I'm feeling. I just trying to ground it down in. I don't know how to sit with it. It needs to, it's a big bubble.
Yeah, we're in the process of digesting this, so it's not happened yet. You got to be able to sit with the discomfort for a little bit longer, okay? But yes.
Right, well, just from listening to everybody seemed to be able to talk about it. I'm sitting here going, hey, wait a second.
Now, there's
things are happening to me.
There's still several people that haven't spoken yet. yes, Ron?
There's a lot going on with my body. I'm sure that this is not unusual for me on heavy duty courses. My body needs to adjust to the changes that are going on.
Yes.
So yeah. I wonder if anybody else is experiencing some physical discomfort.
Yeah, we jumped. We took a right turn here. And it was time for a zinger. Okay. I mean, there comes a point where, and again, Cindy, you just said it so well, that just knowing that the time and place and the alignment, and you know how to share the teachings, and you don't share them when that's not there. It's that old throwing pearls before swine motto. There we go. Now we're aligning. So remember at the beginning I said that the energy was going to be very different for this retreat?
Mm-hmm.
It's starting. Oh, wait a minute. That you didn't come through. Was that just a giggle or did you say something, Andrea?
No, I was just saying, oh boy, here we go again.
Yeah. Okay, take a few deep breaths and ground yourself. See, if the teachings that you've been exposed to from the various traditions you've all enjoyed, they have to bloom. They have to grow. They have to shift you to becoming the expression of those seeds. You can't stay as you were. As hard as you try, you can't. And this is the way, I don't know if any of you noticed, I put up Glenn Arthur Kaufman, Trish, right? I put up his November-December astrology blog up on the news and research page, but this November, December is no joking matter. This is big change on the planet. And I'm going to be interviewing Carol Cummings again next week for another podcast, and she agrees with that. I mean, big things are happening right now. Now is the time for letting go of this old, all the old concepts of who you are and whatever you've been afraid of, and moving into the greater consciousness of your being. And this is the flow. And this is also what it looks like in the society as things break down and as that flow comes through. So what, 10,000 years ago, we had an actual flood. Now we have a virtual flood.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting analogy. Wow. I mean, truly, and the fear, you know, the fear to work with that.
The only fear that's real is the fear of moving into your grander, greater being.
Could past life things come into that where we were injured or?
We were all killed a million times.
Okay. Would those sneak in? Would those sneak in as part of the fear, Sarah, and the feeling of unworthiness? Like, oh my gosh, I opened my mouth and I was killed, or I was chained, or I was...
Yeah, but that's kind of old paradigm now. That's
okay.
That's
okay.
The old story okay. Now.
Okay.
And I'm not dismissing that fear. I mean, I understand that, but I think it's a way of not facing the immediate fear of quaking in your boots at the fracturing of the current being to let in the new being.
I understand that now. Yes, that's the perspective. Yes, thank you.
Because we're all fracturing, we're all disintegrating so that this greater us can come through. Okay. And that's taking apart bricks, you know, cement. it's earth element. Earth element doesn't change fast. It takes some jackhammers to get it going.
Does that explain why? Sorry, this is Trish.
Uh-huh.
Does that explain why I was up most of the night feeling like I was dying?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. And a part of you is. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is where the poetry of Rumi comes from, or Hafiz. From the agony of the disintegration and the ecstasy of the reintegration. Mm-hmm. So we're shifting from believing that we just, you know, that we're not empowered to be a holder or transmitter of these teachings, because we have this old idea of who the teacher is. Now, I'm not saying to disrespect known teachers. I'm not saying that. But the vision is now expanded. And you have every right to stand next to a teacher and be recognized equally as a teacher or a transmitter. Now, if a teacher doesn't recognize that, then they're on a trip.
Right.
Ananda, who was your teacher that I was with at Esalen? What's his name? I can't think right now.
Tenzin Wangyal,
yes.
Rinpoche.
Rinpoche. That man, anyone could stand next to him and feel equally seen and known and respected. There was no putting himself above anyone. So we're shifting out of this old paradigm, and it's really hard to let go in one sense. It's actually, you know, you can keep the respect and admiration for the teachers, but you also have to open it up for yourself to be the living, throbbing, pulsing teaching yourself. And when you feel the overlay of ego, then you say, okay, not right time, right not, not right place.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's a big change.
Not about me, but it's the we
mm-hmm.
attitude. Yeah.
Well, it's never been about teaching the Dharma. It's about being the Dharma.
Mm-hmm. And when you are it, you have the whole package. You have it all. In that moment, you have it all. And if you cultivate it, it's there, it's in your garden, it's there, the soil of your being.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Just watching the energy shift around in your beings.
I understand now as something I had said to Russ, getting prepared for the weekend, for the retreat weekend. I said, I have a sense of kind of a finality, but I don't think I'm going to die. That's what I said to him. And now it makes sense where those feelings may have originated from.
Oh, so you and Trish were feeling something similar.
Yes, I actually expressed that to him. I don't think I'm going to die.
I'm glad you held off on that and left it open to interpretation.
Oh. Well, I understand the dying part now. Oh, dear me.
So, you know, it's just making me think like, okay, so every single person has a different astrology chart and the stars and the cosmos are moving around and we're all in this big flow. And at certain moments, the teaching's coming through you. At certain moments, it's coming through me. And at certain moments, it's coming through another. And that looks like a beautiful vision to me. Mm-hmm. And that may be, I don't know, 100 years or 200 years in our future, but that's more of what the evolved higher frequency civilization looks like.
I was at a workshop a long, long time ago with Carolyn Mace, mm-hmm. and a woman that I had just briefly spoke to walked by Carolyn Mace, and Carolyn Mace just like dropped what she was doing. She goes, "I have never felt such grace in a being before," and it just struck me how it was just there in the air, and she could recognize this lady in her story and all that she had to say about being authentic, really. And what a beautiful moment that really was. And to now really get that. Really get that. Wow. Thank you.
Now, I would like to, in my personal being, give you a break right now, but we're going to go into a deep moment. So is it okay if we spend another 15, 20 minutes before a break?
Sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to put us on mute. Okay. Okay. So settle back in. Lower down, feel the energy in your body. Become integrated. Greet the spirit of the land, Mother Earth. Greet our beautiful nature spirits, our flowers, our crystals, our fairies, our trees, my little gnomes in the backyard, the real gnomes, not a little statue. Greet the nature spirits, the animal spirits, the insect spirits, the reptile spirits. There's a snake spirit here that the serpent is with us. And by the way, Ken had an owl fly right by him in the backyard. So owl spirit is making brief appearances, but she'll be here later. But right now, actually, the serpent spirit is getting stronger. And greet the spirit of the water, the living waters. And feel yourself as the living spring. The living wellspring. And greet the spirit of the fire, the light, the flame within our circle. And greet the spirit of the air, the breath of light and life. And the spirit of the ether, the living intelligence, of all of creation. And we greet the spirit of the directions, the east and the south and the west and the north, above and below, the faceted sacred geometry that creates the structure of the universe and of our particular dimension. Our dimension is still in its infancy. There's so much room to grow and evolve. And we call upon your being to be a flame, in this dimension. A living flame emitting the light of the eternal perennial wisdom. To be able to recognize and relate to your purpose for being here. And this is not just local to our group, but to the planetary consciousness and empowerment of the flame of wisdom. Including the planet, and raising the frequency of Mother Earth's body as incarnated in the Earth. The tremendous force of the power of light pouring down on us and the planet right now is beyond words. We'll be silent for a little bit here. Let's pray for grace and serenity and peace for all beings. For clarity and respect. And for the light of each being to shine through. So we'll take a 15-minute break. That puts us at 5 to 5. And I'm going to pause the recording, so help me remember to start. Okay, I'm back and we're recording and we'll wait. Is everyone here? Tell me, yep, if you're not here.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone have any comments or questions after that?
This is Mark. For me, it just felt very full, deep, and empowering in the meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Is that our dog? I guess I don't have anything else to say right now. Does anyone else? So should we end now and then reconvene at 7:30 Eastern time? If anyone has some questions, I'm happy to, or comments, I'm happy to discuss.
This is Cindy. I just have a comment about today. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting to watch my own transformation in a physical sense in some ways. And that was at the morning meditation, in the last 15 to 20 minutes, that meditation that we participated in was the moment that my body let go of all the tension that it's been carrying, and it was phenomenal, the amount of tension I was carrying that I didn't even realize. Mm-hmm. To the extent, I mean, I knew I had some, but to the extent, I didn't know. So I napped pretty much during the afternoon and came back for the afternoon meditation. I was pretty tired and wiped out. And through the meditation that we had, now I just feel full and alive and majestic. And it's just interesting to watch what transpired in my being through the day in just these first few hours. So just
I know, you know, I may have blown my wad already.
Somehow I don't think so. I don't think that's it, but okay.
Yeah, I would say a lot happened today.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty amazing. But it's like I wish, I don't know how everybody else is feeling, but I feel completely full. I feel like an Amazon. Where I felt like I was just going to just melt into the floor. Now I feel like I'm just present in my whole being. It's really, it happened just within a few hours. It's just, it was amazing to watch it.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And your comment about not noticing how much tension you were carrying, we're still releasing that. Has anyone else noticed that they didn't notice?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it creeps in, and like I said, it gets normalized, so we don't realize what's happening.
It's kind of amazing that we didn't completely fold over with the amount of stuff, how you accommodate to it as a human being. It really kind of is a little reinforcement about the human spirit and how we keep going, even through whatever we go through, you just keep going, you know?
Yeah, that center ring was pretty full. Oh, go ahead.
I woke up into the silence, and I thought we were taking a potty break, and so I started to look at the time of our sessions, and that's as far out as I went, and I'm just curious if there's something that I'm asking sort of an overreaching question for retreats in general, feeling that I maybe lost those 10 minutes. When everybody was in deep meditation, I was not.
When did you say you woke up?
I woke up at about, I think maybe 10 minutes before you began to talk again. And since I'd been asleep, I thought maybe we went to that bio break, just looking at the time that we were scheduled to take one. And I'm just curious if there's something that I need to sort of spend some moments catching up with.
I don't think so specifically. I think we are all going through a major reorganization from the cellular level throughout the whole field. So your being is doing it along with everyone else's. There's no need to be on the exact same schedule as everyone. Other people may have come to in different times during that silent period too. There's no missing anything here. It's just not mental. So it's that part of your mind, Kate, that keeps wondering.
Wait.
Was Kate going to say anything further after I said that?
Oh.
No.
Oh.
I think that will carry me now through the rest of classes and retreats that I take with you.
Okay.
So thanks for letting me. Curiosity be satisfied. Thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, Marianne, what?
I was reading the Medicine Buddha mantra several times. And can you clarify? I didn't quite understand the second line. Gloriously, and that's the first line, and respectfully, we request from you, Medicine Buddha Guru, and this is the line, one of lapis lazuli light. What is that reference to the Buddha Guru's light and the lapis lazuli light?
So
is that how?
That's part of the realization of the mantra as you work with it. Lapis lazuli is that deep royal blue.
That was my question, because I didn't understand that, because
you're speaking from earlier your mind. I'm gonna drop down, ground.
Okay.
Get out of your mind and integrate into your full being.
Okay. I've had so many synchronicities this week, and preparing, etc. And I was called over a week ago, perhaps now, to take the piece of lapis lazuli that I have to bed. And then I put it out during the full moon to cleanse it, along with some other crystals. And I was very curious, because I was just curious about that, because I've had a lot of synchronicities this week, like a long green grass snake showing up when I was meditating, and I didn't know much about what that meant in that mantra.
Right. So when you start wondering about the meaning, you shift into your mind, and
okay.
The mantra reveals itself to you over time or through contemplation. And that is the living essence of the mantra coming alive in you. But I would say that, you know, your being was tuned in to the frequency that was going to be brought through here. And so when you overthink things like that, it just gets really heavy.
I was almost not going to bring it up, because I just was at a loss, actually, on and off all week. There's so much happening to just try to be present with it and not, quote, overthink it or project. It was a bit of a struggle, to be frank.
Well, you just tell that mind to be quiet and integrate with the rest of you.
You think I would have learned by now? I mean, come on, Mayor. But, okay. I will
I will do so.
Well, you know, become aware of how that feels in you. Like for me, when my mind starts going like that, I feel like I'm hitting my head against a brick wall. It like I know it's not going to take me anywhere. And I don't like the feeling of hitting my head against a brick wall, so I stop and I wait for it to show up and wait for the understanding to arise.
Okay.
How does it feel to you when your mind starts doing that to you?
That's when fear comes in.
Ah.
Sometimes. And it's like I need to know this,
or else you won't get like an A on your paper.
No, more of a self-protection thing.
Self-protection? That's the same as not getting an A on your paper.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that could. All right. Okay, yeah, that could be old story, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okie doke.
Anything else? Okay, so why don't we end here? And we'll pick up at 7:30. And once again, I will send out the next link within. I'm sorry, 1183. You just have to be quiet for a moment. I will send out the next link, and if you don't have it in the next half hour, let me know. Okay.
Okay.
So enjoy, relax, rest, have dinner, or whatever you are, wherever you are. just rest. Let this integration happen. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
You too.
You're welcome. See you at 7:30.
Blessings.
Eastern daylight time. Okay. Blessings.